Thank you. I want to look this morning at spiritual warfare. I don't know about you, but it feels to me like we as a church have been under quite a spiritual assault from the enemy in the last year. We've seen amongst us sicknesses, accidents, trials, various things. And at the same time, we've also seen God answer many prayers, seen his provision and his blessing upon us. And yes, we've been living through difficult and strange times with the COVID situation, and we've had a lack of being able to fellowship regularly, and I'm sure that's affected all of us. And it's easy, you know, to dismiss every difficulty as just the way life is, and that can be true because in this life, it's so uncertain, isn't it? You never know what each day is going to bring your way. But this last year, it felt quite like trying to run against an elevator going in the wrong direction with oil on the floor, you know. What I do know this morning is that you and I have a real enemy, an enemy who actively opposes the people of God, an enemy who wants to tear down any work that God is doing amongst his people, an enemy who is at war with the saints of God, with the church of God, and who uses every tool in his arsenal to try and discourage, to wear out, to render God's people ineffective. The Bible clearly tells us, you and I, that we are in a spiritual warfare. And we need to be constantly reminded of this because it's so easy to forget this. I'm obviously going to turn this morning to Ephesians quickly, to the famous chapter 6, which is a great reminder of the spiritual warfare that we're in, verse 10 through to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are engaged in a warfare, whether we like it or not, and we should not be naive or ignorant to the fact that we have an enemy who is cunning, who is deceitful, who is intelligent, who is well practiced in the art of warfare against God's people. And he uses every tactic, ranging from temptation to discouragement. He uses people to attack us. He'll use even family at times to trouble us. And dare I say it, he'll even use so-called Christians to attack us. He uses all means, foul and fair. He'll happily kick us when we're down. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. Many things happen to us that are just a consequence of living in a fallen world. A world full of wickedness and sin. A world of disaster and calamity. And it can strike anyone. And just because you're a Christian this morning doesn't mean that you're exempt from these things. But nevertheless, Satan is actively pursuing any that would side with the Lord to try to destroy their faith, to get them to quit or at least render them ineffective. And what I'm saying this morning is that we need to be aware. We need to be constantly reminded of this fact so that we understand where it's coming from. We understand the source of what's happening. And then we can actively fight back through prayer, through faith, through God's word, and through love and support for each other. If we're going to be victorious in this battle, we need the right mindset. In the scriptures that we've just read, we're exhorted to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, to resist the devil, to stand, to put on the spiritual armour, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to wear the helmet of salvation. Because reality is, we're under attack daily. And we need to be always on our guard. The devil wants to wear us out. He uses discouragement as a weapon against us. He uses fear. And I want to look this morning at the book of Nehemiah, because in the book of Nehemiah, you see the Jews are rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. God had put in Nehemiah's heart a vision to rebuild Jerusalem. And lo and behold, guess what? He faced opposition from a guy called Sanballat and Tobiah, who you might recall. And they are mocked, they are discouraged, they are attacked by Sanballat. Now the name Sanballat means secret hater, an enemy in secret. Or another translation is bramble bush, which is a very thorny bush. But Sanballat is like a type of Satan. He displays the same attributes of hating God's people. Here is God's people rebuilding the wall. Like a picture of any of you and I who would rebuild the walls of salvation. And in verse 1 it tells us that when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. Nehemiah 4 verse 1 says, "But it so happened, when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, even if a fox goes upon it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads, and give them as plunder to a land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity, and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger before the builders.'" The way Sanballat reacts with anger and hatred against God's people is a reflection, really, of the nature of Satan, isn't it? His hatred is against all mankind, we know that. But for the unsaved, it's so well hidden that most don't even believe that he exists. They're blinded to the fact that they're caught captive. They're bound by the power of the evil one. It tells us that in 1 John 5:19. It says, "We know that we are of God, and that the whole world is under the power of the evil one." But once that wall starts going up, once God's people begin to rebuild the walls of salvation, restoring glory to its rightful owner, God, then Satan becomes enraged, doesn't he? It says in Revelation 12:17, "And the dragon was enraged at the woman and went to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Satan hates God's offspring. He's at war with them. Sanballat's aim was to discourage, to mock, to attack God's people. And Satan does this mainly through our minds. It's an attack that is common to all Christians throughout their life, but especially common for those that are newly saved and attacking the mind. The Apostle Paul, fully aware of Satan's ways, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And he also said in Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation. Both of these passages are concerned with spiritual warfare, and both show us the constant need to protect and renew our mind. And we see in Nehemiah 4, verse 1 to 6, that the enemy, he'll use fear, mockery, doubt, depression to demoralise the builders. And Satan uses these tactics to assault us. And through confusion, doubt and fear, he tries to snatch the word of life, even before it can be firmly rooted. Matthew 4:19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. See, if Satan can capture our thoughts, he's won the battle, hasn't he? Now, verse 6, it says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined up together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Despite the intimidation, the people had a mind to work. We need to keep our focus on building God's kingdom, on labouring in the kingdom, having a mind to work. Satan doesn't want us building the walls of Jerusalem, does he? He wants us to give up. Verse 7 says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Despite the intimidation, despite the mockery, the gaps were beginning to be closed. The walls were being restored and rebuilt. You know, even all the attacks of the enemy will not prevent God from building his church. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. I like that in verse 9, that despite all of the attacks, despite all of the mockery and intimidation, it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. You know, prayer is the best thing you can resort to in times of attack. It is our communication line to God. It's where you and I find renewed strength for the battle. It's a major part of our armoury in this spiritual warfare against the evil one. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. We always need to pray. And notice it says in the Spirit. Not out of the flesh, not out of the carnal ways, but pray according to God's will. Lift up our request to him, not just for ourselves and our own situations, but for all the saints. You know, time and time again in the Psalms, you see when David was discouraged and he was under attack or he was in trouble, he calls upon God. He relies upon God. He waits upon God. That is how we stand in the battle. That is how we recover our strength. It says in Scripture, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's not a passive thing, that's an active thing. Verse 10 in Nehemiah, it says, then Judah said, the strength of the labourers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, from whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. The enemy was beginning to wear them out. Their perspective had become that their strength was failing. There's too much rubbish to clear. We're not going to be able to build this wall. But Nehemiah said to them, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. You know, when we feel, as we sometimes do, that we're at the end of our rope, that we're without strength, when we feel that our strength is failing, when we're ready to throw in the towel, we need to remember the Lord. Remember that we serve a mighty God, a God who can do more than you and I can ever ask or think. A God of the impossible is the God that we serve. We don't need to be afraid of the enemy's threats. We need to fight for our brethren. We have to fight as a church. The Ephesians tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, we're not fighting in our own strength, but in the power of his might. And it's all about having that right perspective, isn't it? It's too easy to look at the circumstances that we face and let our heart crumble with despair and weariness. But we're not fighting our own battle this morning. The battle belongs to the Lord. In verse 15, they get their perspective back. It says there, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows and wore armour. And the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand, and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we're separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. God brought the plots of Sanballat to nothing. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God has given us the victory. He's already won the battle at Calvary. The victory is assured. But we need to live in the good of it, don't we? As Nehemiah said to the people, our God will fight for us. It's his battle. Verse 17, and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction, with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. While they were building, getting on with their everyday duties, they never let go of their weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword ready at his side. We cannot relax in this battle. Our weapon needs to be ready at all times. We should never go out without the sword of the Spirit or the shield of faith. Never go out without the weapons of our warfare. Because remember, we have an active enemy. He's always looking to exploit our weakness, always trying to find that gap in the wall. We cannot let down our guard, as it tells us in Ephesians, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Verse 21 says, so we laboured in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem so that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. They were always ready, they were always clothed, they were always armed, vigilant every hour of the day and the night. In the book of Exodus, at the Passover, in Exodus 12:11, speaking about the Passover, it says, and thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Israel had to eat the Passover in haste. They would have their loins girded, shoes on their feet, staff in hand. They were to be ready at all times. The New Testament is full of warnings to you and I about being ready, about having our lamp trimmed and burning, about watching for our Lord like looking for a thief in the night, not getting caught up slumbering and drunk with drunkenness, but being ready, being vigilant, watching and waiting for our Master's return. The Bible says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? We're called to be ever vigilant this morning. Do you ever remember ever-ready batteries? Well, you and I, we need to be ever ready. Always watching, always waiting, always on the lookout for Satan's wiles and his snares and his traps. And always looking for our Saviour's return. Keeping our lamps trimmed and burning as wise virgins. Keeping our garments clean and washed. Looking to our God at all times. We shouldn't be surprised by Satan's attacks. We should be able to discern them. And if we continue in vigilant prayer, continue in steadfast faith, continue in steadfast service, continue in watching and waiting, then we will be ready when the evil day arrives, which it will do, and they do, don't they? Have you ever had a day from hell? When everything that can go wrong does go wrong. When it feels like all the world is against you. When you can't do right for doing wrong. When you're assaulted from all directions, when disaster strikes, when accusations and slander are made, when hatred is experienced, when you're falsely accused or misunderstood, when everything goes against you, we need to be ready for those days because they do come. When temptation comes, will you be ready? Will you stand or fall? Will you be found asleep when you should be watching and praying? Like Jesus found the disciples in the night of his capture, sleeping at the wheel. Will you be found girded, clothed and ready with the sword in hand? We need to be ever watchful, ever ready, praying always, fully clothed in the garments of righteousness, keeping our garments clean from sin and pollution of the world. We're called to watch. We're called to remain sober, to be vigilant, because the enemy is real. We are in a real battle. You might not be able to see it with your eyes, but it's real. It's more real than what you see with your eyes. And if we're too lazy to fight, and if we listen to the enemy's discouragement, if we give in to his lies and his temptations, then we won't be ready when our Lord returns. You know, you can't serve God with one eye on the world and one eye on the Lord. It's all or nothing. We're pilgrims passing through this life. We need staff in hand, sword by our side. We need to be fully girded, fully armoured, helmet on, shield held high to deflect the fiery darts of Satan. In a nutshell, we need to be ready, don't we? Matthew 26, verse 40 says, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. 1 Peter 4, 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Revelation 3, verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We need to fight, church. We're in a spiritual warfare. We need to fight for ourselves, our families, our brethren and the church. As Nehemiah told the Jews, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your houses. We're in a battle and we need to fight. And in the end, let's say, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, we should hopefully be saying at the end of our life, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. We need to stay alert, we need to be aware of the battle we're in, make sure that we're always ready, always alert, always praying. And if we do get injured, as we sometimes do, make sure we get back, go back to our God. For God will always be there to pick us up if we fall. He doesn't forsake the righteous. If we repent, we can find restoration and be renewed and give us new strength for the battle. Amen. Let's pray this morning.